Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the queen of Halloween, soon I think to be queen of the New York Times bestseller list, Miss Cassandra Peterson.
Hello, David. Hi, everybody.
How are you today? What is going on?
I'm rushed. I mean, it's September 2nd and then around September 1st, my season starts. So September and October are really, really, really busy times for me. And then on top of that, I'm promoting my new book. So it's a double whammy this year. And it's my 40th anniversary as Elvira.
It is all of that. Well, first of all, congratulations on the new book, Yours Cruelly, Elvira, Memoirs of the Mistress of the Dark.
That's right. Pretty interesting and exciting. There it is. Wrong side.
There it is. And let me tell you, so I've read the book. Now, I've read the book. Now, I know, you know, you've written like two of the Elvira or three of the Elvira novels, and we have the coffin table book. But why now? Why was this the right time to write kind of like your memoir and your life story?
Well, I started thinking, if not now, when? You know, I'm turning 70 in just a couple of weeks. And I've been thinking about writing it for at least 15 years. And I've been making notes, writing down little bits and pieces of it. And then, you know, a friend of mine said, if you're ever going to do this book, you have to go out and get a publishing deal and get a deadline, or you will not ever do it. And I think that's the key, you know, you get a deadline, then you're like, oh, I gotta do it. So I'd just been thinking about it for so long. And it was just finally time, like, do it or get off the pot, you know?
The time is now. Well, I've learned so much about you from reading this book. You know, there's a lot in there, let me tell you. Starting at a young age, you know, the first thing that jumped out to me was, you know, like when you reach for the pot on the stove and accidentally like poured boiling water all over your body and were scarred like on 30% of your body. Do you remember that? Like, is that like, do you remember that vividly?
No memory of it whatsoever. I, you know, obviously I was in shock or traumatized or something. If someone didn't tell me, I wouldn't know where these scars came from. I don't know. I had to learn to speak again. I mean, I was only 18 months old, so I knew, you know, I don't know how much you know at 18 months, but I had to learn speak again. I didn't recognize my family. I knew nobody. And it took a while. It was kind of like being born again, if you will.
Wow. Yeah. And you talk about this in the book that like that and kind of feeling like a misfit and scarred, that kind of really is what led you into horror, to have an affiliation for horror.
It really kind of is. I mean, I remember going to school, honestly, and having kids. There were kids doing jump rope, and they were doing like a, you know, a kind of a little song, a little poem like they did. And it was about me looking like a monster. And I just stood there going, I mean, I was really little and probably kindergarten age. And I got a lot of teasing, a lot of bullying. And it did make me, I felt ostracized. I felt like I didn't fit in. And eventually when I did see a horror movie, when I was about in second grade, I was 7 or 8 years old, I something clicked in my head. And like, I don't know that, you know, I could relate to it. This is strange. I, you know, I'm not a psychologist here, but I'd like to be. But I just felt like that felt like me. Being a monster was okay.
Like almost like you found your people.
I did. It was exactly like that. It was like, these are my peeps.
What was the first horror movie that you saw?
House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price. And it scared the living hell out of me. At the same time, I was fascinated by it, just fascinated. I mean, I remember waking up screaming in the middle of the night for months, like, because Vincent Price was chasing me with a giant knife, which had nothing to do with the movie, but I just became obsessed with Vincent Price and with those movies in particular, the kind of low budget Roger Corman movies that were loosely based on the Edgar Allan Poe stories.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to see all of them. And I went to all of them and became more and more enamored with horror.
Did you get like pushback from those around you, you know, like where other little girls were playing with Barbies? I mean, you know, it was a different time back then. I mean, even now, I mean, I was bullied in high school too. I get it. Kids could be wonderful, right? But like, did you get more pushback as you went down the horror route?
Oh yeah. I mean, nobody that I knew ever had even heard. They were not into horror movies. They were not into horror stuff. I'm at home painting little model kits, Aurora model kits of Dracula and the Wolfman, you know. And literally my sisters are sitting on the same bedroom floor playing with Barbie and Ken. So I didn't even, there weren't even guys that were into it. I was the only one. So I just made myself more of a freak than I already was.
But you just couldn't stay away.
Could not. Love, just, yeah, had to have it.
Well, then I know you left home and you eventually ended up in Vegas, and at 17 were one of the youngest showgirls in Vegas history. What was that like?
It was pretty freaky, I'll tell you, coming from a farm in Kansas and then suddenly finding yourself on stage, jumping around in your skivvies was quite a shock. And being 17, I had parts of me that were mature, like my boobs. Okay. But emotionally and mentally, I was not really prepared for it. So it came as a big revelation, a big shock. And I got myself into all sorts of trouble in Las Vegas. It was a great year. I got sick of it after about a year. I was like, get me the heck out of here.
Like Vegas is like New York. We were just talking before you went on that I'm in New York. It's like you, that's a fast education of coming from Kansas to like, here's how the world is, right?
Yeah, it was exactly like that. It was a real quick, you know, from 0 to 60 in 1 minute.
I know you ran into a lot of people there. You talk in the book about this encounter with Elvis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Elvis changed my life literally. And everybody goes, "Ooh, Elvis," but nothing, there was nothing funny going on, probably because I was 17, you know, I think he was smarter than that. But we had this fantastic discussion and he told me, "You do not need to be in Las Vegas. You need to get out. You need to find something else to do." And I was like, "What? This is my dream. I just accomplished it. Now you want me to go do something else?" And he suggested that he and I sang together, if you can believe that. And I had always sung in choir previously. So he suggested I take singing lessons and maybe become a singer and get out of Vegas. And kind of a long story, but I did all of that. And it was all based on Elvis's advice.
Wow. So really, do we have Elvis to thank for Elvira?
I honestly think you do. And what's really always struck me as sort of bizarre is that Elvira's signature, if you ever see Elvis's signature, and I didn't copy it, I just write the way I write, looks very much like Elvis's signature. And Elvis, Elvira, I like when I go online, you know, Google Elvira just to go to my website, and Elvis always pops up right next to me. I'm like, all right. You know. So it's funny, I mean, similar names, and that name was just chosen by me out of a tin can. So the fact that they're similar is kind of like Elvis was sending me a message.
Wow. So it wasn't based on Elvis. You literally, you put names in a tin can and picked out the name and Elvira's the one that came out.
Yes. We were going to call the show Vampira and that didn't work out because we found out somebody else owned the name. And the last minute, right? The first day of shooting Elvira, everybody on the set, including the director, the sound man, the lighting guy, and myself threw in little pieces of paper with what we thought the character should be called. And I picked out Elvira and I was like, ew, Elvira, that's like a country Western star. And anyway, that's stuck. That was the deal. And it did, you know, maybe Elvis was guiding my hand in there for the slip of paper. I don't know.
I think so. What were the other names? Do you know?
Luna, I remember one named Luna. That wouldn't have been too bad. Cassandra is the one I put in. Bad, 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 idea. I am so grateful that my character is not called Cassandra and I'm called Cassandra. That would be a bummer, right?
And that's confusing. Like on the soap opera, when one person's playing two parts, like Cassandra, and now we have a different Cassandra.
Right.
Luna. Okay. Luna. Interesting.
Pretty good. I know. I liked that one. I wish I would have picked it, but anyway, it's Elvira-ness worked pretty good for me.
I would say it's worked pretty well. How did you come up with everything? The look, costumes, the makeup, like where did the inspiration for Elvira come from?
Well, I had a best friend named Robert Redding. He and I had been previously in a little group that we'd formed, a music, singing, dancing, comedy group called Mama's Boys. I was Mama and I had seven gay men with me and we toured all over the country from gay disco to gay disco for several years. And Robert lived in LA and he's a fantastic artist. In addition to being very talented, he has since passed away from AIDS. But he and I, once I got the part looking like myself, he and I sat down and brainstormed and tried to come up with a look that wouldn't be the same old look, you know, that, you know, the Morticia Adams, the Vampirella, the Empire thing. And we first came up with a look that was more like Sharon Tate in The Fearless Vampire Killers, which was a gauzy pink dress that you could sort of sheer and long red hair and more of a dead girl look. And the station did not want that. They were like, no, it has to be all black, has to be black hair, black everything. So he came up with the kind of standard look. That was a bummer because it's like, okay, this is gonna look like everybody else. But he managed to tweak it so that it didn't. We got like a kind of an 80s spin going with little leather and stud bracelets. And of course the cleavage didn't hurt. We were shocked when they said I could actually, show that much cleavage on TV. We just put it there and thought they'd say, well, you got to cover up, but they didn't, they want ratings, you know?
No red and pink hair and pink costumes, but cleavage. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean, it's a very, you know, creative look. Did you work on like Elvira's backstory, you know, as far as like, did you give her a whole backstory right from the start?
No, you know, we didn't. We just jumped in there and started doing the show. I didn't know if the show would last for 2 days or 2 months, you know. It seemed pretty cheesy. I was just at a local station and trying to fit the show in between the news at noon and the news at five, you know, so we had this little window where we could shoot. And I had no backstory, no nothing. And that came along later when we did the movie Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Then we had to actually think of where did she come from? How did she get that way? And all of that.
When did you realize like, you know, that Elvira and like Fright Night and like, that this was a thing, you know, like you said, it may not have lasted. When did you realize like, okay, not only is this going to last, but wait a second, this is actually something huge.
I think that revelation came along when I was asked to do the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And at that time, that was the talk show. It was like kind of almost the only talk show, the most major talk show. And I sort of knew, and everybody kept telling me, if you're on that show, that means you are happening. It's a thing, you know? And that was when I suddenly went, oh my God, I might be famous or something, you know? So that was pretty much it.
Well, you also hosted Saturday Night Live at one point in your career.
I did. Well, that's kind of a chapter in the book that you'll see. It didn't turn out quite the way I had planned it to turn out. But I did get to go on Saturday Night Live. So I guess I shouldn't complain, but it was an interesting story how that came about and how it ended up.
Everyone needs to read that part of the book.
Yeah, I know. You're,
What about horror fans are so rabid? And I don't mean that in a bad way. They're just so loyal to their craft. So what is the strangest fan encounter that you've ever had? I'm sure you've had a few.
I've had a lot of strange fans. One thing that's cool are fans that come up to me who are famous, much more famous than me, and asking for autographs. It's like, you're kidding. One time the whole band, the Ramones, came to see me. One time Muhammad Ali came came to see me. It was just bizarre, you know, people like that. And you're like, yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I've had fans, tattoos of Elvira is a very, very big thing. And I can't tell you how many times fans, I mean, have tattoos of me as big as their entire back and on their entire arm or their entire thigh and some other places that you would. Whoa, you would not believe, but I've had more than a fan or two just pull up their top or pull down their pants, and it's like, wong, wong, wong. Anyway, that's happened. So those have been interesting fans. I had one guy who said, my father has waited his whole life. He loved you more than any celebrity ever, and he wanted to see you more than anything. And they brought his ashes because he had passed away. So I signed better late than never, but I don't know. Interesting fan encounters all the time. And my fans are so loyal. I adore them.
Making content is such an essential part of what I do to keep this show going, but it hasn't always been a seamless creative process. Listen, in addition to what you guys see every day on Instagram, I tweet the show out and I post tons of video clips on YouTube all day for that day's show. I'll be honest, my design skill level ain't so great, and my ability to learn new platforms is even worse. Ever since I found Canva Pro, I can design anything like a pro on any device. I feel like such an expert with Canva Pro. Listen, it's a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content with just a few clicks. Designing with Canva Pro is so much fun and it's fast. You could choose from thousands of templates that are easy to customize, or you can just start from scratch. What I like the best about Canva Pro is everything is in one place and it helps me stay organized. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, video editor, it's all right there. So it's easy for me to stay on the same page with everyone else I'm working with. There's no more misplaced files and there's no more tedious back and forth. The other thing I love about Canva Pro is the price. For just $12.99 a month, you and four teammates can unlock everything Canva Pro has to offer. Really, design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use my promo code. Just go to canva.me/velvetrope to get free 45 days of an extended trial period. That's canva.me/velvetrope. canva.me/velvetrope, and you get a free 45-day extended trial period. Trust me, you're going to love it, and it's going to make your life so much easier. You're going to be designing things that are so amazing. You can thank me later. canva.me/velvetrope. And with the tattoos, like, men or women will just pull down their pants and say, here's where it is, and they'll be totally naked.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, I had this girl. It was up in San Francisco. She was a big girl, very big. And she pulled down her pants and my face was on her butt cheek. And it was about like that wide, you know? It was like, dude. Anyway, so things like that.
Just little fun things like that.
Things like that.
Speaking of the celebrities, like, have you ever had, like, you know, like you think of like the current, you know, like a Brad Pitt or like a Julia Roberts, where you're just like, you're an Elvira fan? Like, wait, I'm shocked. You know, like someone we wouldn't really think would be an Elvira fan.
Well, the strangest one probably was Michael Jackson. And he really like flipped out. He was like, oh, Elvira, oh my God. Oh. Started freaking out. So that was pretty insane. And it was the night he was at the Grammys winning, I think 11 Grammys for Thriller. And the major thing he said to me was, I should have had you do the voice in Thriller. And I was like, duh, you should have. I mean, what a game changer that would have been. Biggest single in history. But that didn't happen, but I'm glad I went to Vincent Price, who I love. So.
Okay, I have a few questions now. So you were at the Grammys too, right? Yeah. Like you were, and then Michael Jackson just ran into you and is like, oh my God, I'm a huge fan.
Yep, I was dressed as Elvira because I was there with, I believe that night I was there with Alice Cooper. And so we went backstage and Michael Jackson was coming one way and I was going the other way. And yeah, he just saw me and I was dying. I could hardly talk. I was like, this Michael Jackson.
And then when he tells you something, like he says, oh, you should have done the voice in Thriller. Is that like a, like you said, is that like a, well, now you tell me this could have changed everything? Or is it like, well, that's flattering. I mean, that's.
Oh no, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God. And instead I tried to stay cool and not scream and fall down on the floor or anything. But it was funny, many years later, the writer, I believe, of Thriller, I believe his name was Rod Templeton, something like that, passed away. And in his obituary, it said that he had originally intended Elvira to do the voiceover in Thriller, but then Quincy Jones, who was producing for Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones' wife's best friend was Coral Brown, who was the wife of Vincent Price, and she wanted Vincent Price to do it. So if I had to lose out to anybody, it would certainly be to Vincent Price, my hero. But that was disappointing, though. I was kind of sad to hear that years later. Oh, bummer.
And imagine what a difference. I mean, it still would have been a great song, but imagine like with like a female Elvira on there, man.
It would have been really awesome, right? Oh, well. Those are little things that happen, you know, a long way.
I love it. What about, you know, you've played Elvira, quote unquote, for so long. I know you've been in other things, like you were in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Like, I know you know Paul Rubens from The Groundlings. Did you ever say, like, wait, I'm typecast as Elvira? Like, did you want to act more? Like, was that a thing where people, you would come in as Cassandra and they would say, I mean, you don't seem like Elvira right now. Like, was that a thing where you were typecast or you wanted to do other things more and you just didn't have the time?
Yeah, you know, it was so funny. My first inclination was, well, I can have this gig as Elvira and I can do that. Nobody knows it's me, you know, nobody recognized me or anything. And then I can go out and have like a legitimate acting career, you know, and basically have two careers. And that whole plan really kind of went down the tubes when I started really making good money as Elvira for the first time in my life, you know, enough money to buy a house and a new car and all that. And I was like, why do you want to get out of this exactly? Where, you know, what's wrong with doing this? And the most important thing about it is that I eventually got the rights to the character and owned the character. Then I was able to exploit it by doing licensing and merchandising and everything that goes along with owning a brand. And I didn't really realize that initially, but it certainly hit home later. And it was like, why the heck do you want to get away from the thing that's making you money and that you enjoy doing?
Was that hard to get the rights to the character? Or it wasn't even that hard back then? You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures up my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
It was funny how it happened. I was working at this little local TV station, as I said, and they wouldn't pay me more. I was their top rated show on the entire station, but they would not pay me more money. And so instead of money, in lieu of money, my management asked for the rights to have a fan club. And they said, okay. Later we asked for the rights to appear on other TV shows because I was getting requests to be on like Chips or Happy Days or, you know, whatever. And then we asked for the rights to make t-shirts and stuff. And that kept going along every year until one day we realized we had all the rights. They had just slowly given them away. And thank God, because the station, not long after I left, had to be sold because of some weird business dealings of the company that owned them, RKO, and they lost the license for the station. So if Elvira would have been owned by them, she would be long, long gone, and there would be no way for me to get it back.
Wow.
So I lucked out in that.
And then to that point, like, you know, you look at like so many actresses, especially like, okay, it's changed a little bit, but still, you know, back in the day, especially like if you, you know, 40, you were considered put out to pasture as an actress, certainly not 50s or 60s, which is, yes, we're in a different world today. But as this was now a brand with all the licensing and comics books and dolls, and I mean, were you just like, wow, like this is a legitimate business. This is certainly who can argue with that, as opposed to being like a working actress. Now there's nothing wrong with that and thinking where your next gig is going to come from.
Yeah. I mean, my career went in a very different trajectory than I initially thought it would, but I became more what I would call like a business person. I run a business. It's a brand. And of course I have many, many people that help me with it who really know what they're doing. But it's not like going out on acting jobs, doing auditions and doing TV shows and all of that. It's just not. I don't have time to do both. I can either concentrate on this business or I can, be all over the place. I can't do both.
Totally. Yeah. There's only so many hours in the day.
Damn straight.
What do you think is going to shock people the most from reading this book? I mean, I read it. There were some things I picked up on, but what do you think is going to shock people the most, or that they're going to be like surprised to find out about you?
Well, there are a lot of things in there. I'm hoping most of my friends speak to me after the book comes out. No, I think not a lot of people know about me being burned. And I had a very difficult relationship with my mother. I moved out when I was 14. And traveled around the country as a go-go dancer, which is pretty crazy, right, at 14. I don't think people have heard about my early life, really, and how I kind of, you know.
Went out on your own.
Sorry?
And how you went out on your own at such a young age.
I think that's going to be a big surprise. I don't know. I think there's a lot in there that people are going to be shocked about. I had some amazing adventures in Europe, working with a band, but there's some stories in there that are pretty shocking and sad, and yeah.
It's sad, it's shocking, it's happy. I mean, one of the things that stood out to me is that you witnessed a murder of your neighbor.
Yeah, stood right there and saw it happen. And you said, why didn't you do anything? Because I was inside my apartment looking out the window while someone was stabbing her 100 times. And I immediately ran out to try to help her. And as I was bending down to try to feel her pulse, and the murderer came up behind me, standing behind me with a knife, covered head to toe in blood, and started asking me if I thought she was okay, which I said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Then he threw the knife in a bush and walked down the street. And that even goes on a longer story. But I was interviewed by the Herald Examiner, which was a paper here in LA at the time. And there were a lot of funny, funny, weird things that happened about that story. A lot of details. It's like a kind of like a mystery novel. I still can't get over that. Too many discrepancies of the police report and what I saw. It was very strange. So that's something you might want to while you read and see what happened. But it was traumatizing. It was horrible. I had to move. I could never go back in that apartment again.
And I know.
I really had what I didn't know then was PTSD, but I'm sure it was. It was really hard to deal with.
And then, I mean, it's such a serious thing. Like, I don't mean to make light of it, but like, is the irony lost on you that it, like, Elvira is witnessing a murder? I mean, I know it's not the same as horror, but it is like, that's, what are the chances?
Well, the funny thing was the article which was on the front page of the Herald Examiner, which I still have, the headline was "A Hollywood Horror Story." So how perfect is that, right? But that certainly would explain it.
That would explain it. What do you think is like the biggest misconception of you? I mean, like, do people meet you and like they confuse that you're not Elvira? I mean, like, I understand how that happens. It's the same as playing any character for a really long time. And like, what do you think is the biggest misconception of you?
I think the first thing people say is, you're so tiny, which I'm not really that tiny. I'm 5'7", but I think everybody thinks of Elvira as being, you know, 6'5" or something. I don't know. And I must say, with 6 inches more of hair and 6-inch heels, I do get up around 6 feet tall, but I'm small bone. I'm tiny. I think they're just thinking it's somebody who's really like, you know, Wonder Woman or something. I rarely get recognized. So, you know, it's funny. I'll go to parties and people will ignore me until they know I'm Elvira, and then I'll be my best friend. You know, I love that. But I rarely get recognized walking down the street or in my neighborhood, which is fantastic. I got to tell you, I have way too many celebrity friends that have the, oh dear heavens, somebody's calling me. You know, way too many friends that get recognized all the time. And it's not that fun after a while, you know? Sounds like it would be, right? But no.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check out betterhelp.com/velvetrope. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress level is high, your temper is shorter than usual, or even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased and who's not going to judge you or take sides. If there's stuff you can't tell your friends or family, this is the place to do it. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain for it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Behind the Velvet Rope listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/velvetrope. That's BETTERHELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope. I was going to say, like, that's kind of the best of both worlds, right? To be able to like work in this business and then not be recognized.
It really is. I'm one of the luckiest actors out there. Oh dear. I'm sorry. I've got all kinds of things going on here.
I'm like, oh my God. No, don't even worry about it. It's funny how you say like at the party and right, the person's talking to you and they're whatever. And then of course, when they find out you gotta love LA and the
Hollywood. My new best friend.
Have you been out with certain celebrity friends of yours where like that's happened, where like they are all about the celebrity and you're just sitting there like, hi.
Like chopped liver.
Who would we be shocked to find out like Cassandra's really good friends with this celebrity? Like who are some of your, like who would shock us?
I mean, well, most of them would not shock anybody because they're like Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie, you know, people like that. I hang out a lot with Paul Rubens, who's Pee-wee, and we hang out a lot because he and I are in a very, very exclusive club together. We're two completely different characters who we own the brands, and we're normal. Well, I don't know if we're normal people. I can't really say that. We're regular old people who play these wacky characters. So Paul and I have a lot in common and we see a lot of each other. One of my oldest and dearest friends is Richard Chamberlain, who a lot of people younger than me don't even know who Richard is anymore, but he's fantastic. And he was huge, huge celebrity for, you know, how many years in Hollywood. And it still does things. It's wonderful. I mean, but one of my closest friends, I don't know how, it's weird how Elvira and Richard Chamberlain fit together. I don't know how, but
they do. What about like current horror, like American Horror Story? Like, do you watch American Horror Story, Ryan Murphy? Yeah. Like, do you like something like that? And do you look at something like that and say like, wait a second, there might be a part for Elvira or Cassandra in there.
You know, oh gosh, it's so bad to say, but I don't generally watch that stuff. It's kind of like bringing your work home with you. You know, it's so crazy. I mean, I love horror, and I don't get me wrong, I do watch horror movies, but I don't have a real daily diet of just staring at it, because for so many years, I have watched so many horror movies, generally older, you know, more B movies, which is
yeah,
that I love. Now, I can sit and spend a whole night watching Twilight Zone. That I can, I watch all the time. There's something I don't know, it's like comfort food for me. I love my old episodes of Twilight Zone. And I love, like I said, the old B movies, but the new horror, it's not that I don't love a lot of it, I do. It's just that I need a break sometimes, you know?
I could understand that. So it's not like you say like, hey, management team, like you said, you have all these people that help you. Like, why aren't I in this American Horror Story over here? Someone get Ryan Murphy on the phone.
Yeah. I mean, I figured they'll call me if they want me or need me, you know, and I'll be in that. I was in a couple little horror movies. I was in All About Evil, directed by the beautiful Peaches Christ. And it was really awesome being in that. And I played a super straight, normal mom. Which I love, quite a departure from, you know, Elvira. And so that was fun. So people call me up, you know, I have a few shows coming up very soon on TV that people just call me out of the blue and say, hey, there's a perfect part for you. And then I'll do it if it's fun. And
we have had the beautiful Peaches Christ on this very show here. Love.
I love him so much.
Love. Do you watch other things? Like, do you watch rom-coms, like, you know, stuff like that?
I am not a big TV person. I know nobody believes it. I have never seen an episode of Seinfeld, Cheers, Friends. Can you believe that? I mean, I don't know what it is. I'm just not, I don't know. I'd rather be doing something in real life than watching TV all day. I don't know. I mean, I do watch TV. There are things I watch on it. I can't remember what.
Listen, you're better off. There are only so many hours in the day, right?
It's true. And I just keep busy enough that I don't have time to sit down and do it. Not that I don't love TV. I do, but I'm busy.
It's like you're writing a book. You wrote a book. That's right.
I'm writing a book. And when I'm not writing a book, I like reading. So, I mean, you see, I have books behind me here, but
you have, yes, a lot of books.
I do.
What about, you know, you've lived such an interesting life. You said, like, from Kansas, showgirl, Vegas, traveling around at 14. If they were going to make a movie on your life, who would you want to play, like, a, you know, a 20, 30 something year old Elvira?
Oh my God, I hadn't ever thought about that. Who would be good? We might need a few actresses, because it would go from birth to 100 years old. So there might be a few people, but the main one, I don't know. It'd have to be somebody with a real sense of humor, or a comedian. I mean, I would really think somebody who's really into comedy, not just like another pretty face. So I haven't really given it any thought. Who would you have?
Well, like, I always think of like someone with like, yeah, like that with comic, but like an edge, like maybe like a Dakota Johnson or like a Jennifer Lawrence. They kind of have an edge to them, I think.
Yeah, no, it should be somebody with a little edge, not somebody who's just, you know, pretty girl, Mama.
That's what I think.
Well, if you think of anybody, let me know.
You know, I just think after the book, Cassandra, we have the movie.
I hope so. I hope, or even at least the documentary. I have amazing film footage and photos of my childhood. And,
wow.
Which would, I think, make a pretty interesting documentary. I have one film I especially love. It's a little 8mm film of me when I was 5 years old, getting my first present that I remember. And it was a little portable record player with a 45 record of You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog by Elvis Presley. So, and it's me dancing, and I have a very wacky dance I made up. You have to see it to believe it. I don't know. I was choreographing when I was only five.
I love it. I think the movie needs to be next. Have you ever been in the mix? Like, I talk to people sometimes, like, have you ever been in the mix for a part that you then didn't get that went on to be something. Like I spoke to someone that almost got Pretty Woman, like it's Julia Roberts. Like, is there some big part like that where we're like, wait, that was almost Cassandra Peterson?
You know, I'd have to say the only thing I had that was really even similar to that was the story I told you about being doing the Michael Jackson voiceover in Thriller.
Pretty good one.
Huh?
That's a pretty good one.
It is a pretty good one. Yeah, I've never, because I don't really go out for parts or audition and like almost getting something. I've just pretty much, ever since I got Elvira, I've been creating my own projects. Whether they're big or little or whatever, I pretty much do it myself. I'm always involved in the writing, the producing, and putting it together. So I don't really go out and do that much else. I wish I had something that I could say Scarlett Johansson got it instead of me.
Listen, Michael Jackson Thriller, I don't think it gets any better than that. I mean, you do own a holiday. You mentioned this is your busy season. Like, how busy does it get for you now that we're approaching Halloween? It's crazy.
Insanely crazy. And you would think, you know, I thought now that I'm getting a little older that it would slow down, or with the pandemic it would slow down. It's not slowing down, which I'm very grateful for, but it's been crazier than ever. It's just more appearances, more TV shows. I have two big projects that'll be out this fall on TV, and another few TV appearances on different and other shows.
Wow.
Just acting. And so it's just busier than I've ever been, which is, I got to slow it down. I'm not getting old here.
Well, very few people can say that they basically own a holiday, which you do. I mean, we have you and we have Mariah Carey, who owns Christmas. I mean, did you ever think of calling Miss Mariah and maybe doing a crossover Halloween Christmas?
I have met her. We had a lot of pictures together. We danced together at a party. We had such an awesome time. She was so fun. I never had thought of that, but I don't know what we do because my voice is shot. I can't sing anymore. So I don't know. Maybe I just helped her with her hair and wardrobe. I don't know.
Well, speaking of, you know, you said you're getting older. I mean, we're all getting older. I know you have a birthday. You are turning 70. Now, for any age, we all sometimes, but you, I mean, come on, I'm not the only person that's going to ask this question. Like, how is it that I'm looking at you and you are, how do you maintain all of this youthfulness? Like, what is your secret? Come on.
I do. You know, people ask me, they say, is there something you use or something? And I go, honey, if I had that, I would be bottling that and marketing it, you know, under Elvira's Secret Potion or whatever. I don't know. I live in LA. I do a lot of skincare. I take care of myself. I exercise and work out a lot, not in September and October so much because I'm working all the time. But, you know, I do yoga. I do Pilates. I walk every day. I eat basically vegetarian diet and not 100% though. So if you ever catch me eating chicken, don't, you know, it could happen.
If I ever see you at a restaurant eating chicken, I won't call you on it.
Okay, yes. I used to be a total vegetarian. I don't know what happened. I slid off fell off the truck there. But anyway, I don't know. I've always taken care of myself and stayed busy. Maybe that's the secret, you know, and enjoyed my work. I love what I do.
That's amazing. I think staying on the move is the key too. Yeah. As we wrap up, is there anything else you want to leave us with that I didn't bring up? And what do you want people to take away from reading this book as they read it? Like, what do you want them to kind of take away and say at the end of it?
Well, what I really honestly want is, like we were talking about McFans, how they are really loyal and how they, you know, I don't know. We with my fans, I have this interplay. We both come from the same background, my fans and I. I think a lot of them had childhoods where they felt like misfits. That's what I'm trying to say. Hello. They felt like me. They didn't fit in. They were bullied, this and that. And what I want to do is, what I hope this book does, is give those people some inspiration when they didn't feel like they were the prettiest person or the best looking or the smartest or whatever, that none of that really matters. If you really want to make it and also, you know, to follow your dream. If you, I had the crazy dream of wanting to be a showgirl in Las Vegas. And, you know, I was like, everybody was telling me, you're not tall enough. You're not pretty enough. You know, you're not talented enough. And I was like, well, I'm going to try anyway. And I want to give that to my fans and the people who felt like they just didn't fit in, that sometimes the best thing is not to fit in, because you become more, you become unique.
I would agree with all that. And I think that's probably one of the appeals to Elvira, that she kind of gives a voice to the misfits or the people that feel they don't really fit in anywhere.
I think so. I think that's why the movie Mistress of the Dark connects to so many people. And I've had fans come up sobbing in tears and saying that movie made such a huge difference in my life. And I'm like, really? You know, it's hard for me to believe. But now I get it. I really do get it. I see that they didn't feel like they fit in. Elvira didn't fit in, not especially in her dress, which is a line from the movie. Okay, I stole it. And they, the movie gave them inspiration. So I hope to do the same with my book. Excuse me.
I love it. It's a great book. Everyone needs to read it. Two more things and we'll wrap up. Can you share any of these projects that you mentioned that you have coming up, or is it too early?
Yeah. Believe me, if I could, I would so much. I cannot yet. Yeah.
Well, I think I'm happy about that, because that just means you will have to come back another time when all those come out.
I would love to.
Before we go, two things. Where can everyone find you online so everyone can follow you who doesn't already follow you on Instagram?
Elvira.com. And if you just go to Elvira.com, then you can get the connections to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, which is all my handles on there are at The Real Elvira. So check out that. You can see everything I'm doing, everything I'm up to, and all the news of what's coming up will be announced on there if you want to find out about it.
I love it. I have personally met you at two different celebrity conventions. I don't know where, because I don't remember anything, but I've met you as Cassandra and as Elvira. So you were wonderful both times. So just figured I would tell you that. Anytime. Thank you, Cassandra. And before we go, I can't let you go without you telling me unpleasant dreams.
Okay. Unpleasant dreams.
I love it. I'm dead. I really do appreciate all your time, though. Congratulations. The book is amazing. Everyone needs to read it. It's filled with everything. So it's a great read. So
thank you. Thank you for doing that. I hope they do. And I hope everybody likes it. And I hope they talk to me afterwards.
Everyone's going to still talk to you. Trust me. They're going to understand. It was a great read. So come back for real. This was amazing. I really appreciate you taking your time.
Thank you, David. I'd love to come back.
Thank you. Have a good day and we'll talk.
Sorry about being late.
You could listen, Cassandra, you can be late anytime you want for me. Okay. I will be here waiting for you.
Thank you. Okay.
See you later. Okay. Bye. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope, because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.